Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, March 4th, 7:31 Central Time. Joining me by phone this morning, the Reverend Dr. Brian Friedrich from Concordia University. He serves as president at Concordia University, Nebraska. Good morning, Dr. Friedrich.
Good morning, Andy. How are you this morning?
I am well. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. Tell us, let's talk about Concordia University, Nebraska. This would be my wife's alma mater. We have a mixed marriage. I went to Concordia University, Chicago. So let's talk a little bit about the other half of our family.
Great. We're talking about the better half, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, right.
Let's talk about Concordia University, Nebraska. It's been around for quite a while. Share with us some of the history of Concordia University, Nebraska.
Well, this is year 121, Andy. So Concordia started in 1894. And interestingly enough, it started because the church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, was growing and growing westward, and the church wanted to have another school, in addition to your alma mater, to equip, at that time, young men to teach in Lutheran schools. So Concordia started as an essential, today we would call it a Lutheran high school, but was using the German gymnasium approach to education. And the school was started by four local laypersons, and that's how it came to be in Seward, that those four laypersons gave both money and land so that the first building, Founders Hall, which still exists on campus, could be built. And President Weller was an area pastor from Staplehurst, Nebraska, came to be the institution's first president. And he and Mrs. Weller lived in Founders Hall with about a dozen young men. And that was how Concordia began.
So it started off as an institution to prepare those who serve in the church, primarily as teachers who are partnering with families to help children grow up in the one true faith. And now, what does Concordia look like today?
Well, that's a great question. For many, many years, Concordia was known as Concordia Teachers College, and basically through the 1970s, that's all we did, was equipped teachers to teach in Lutheran schools, elementary, secondary schools. And in the 1980s, the curriculum began to expand. We were the first institution to have a program for directors of Christian education. We also had a pre-seminary program and then a social work program. And out of our education programs grew a rather robust offering in the liberal arts and business as well. So today, education still represents the largest single program on campus, but business programs in the natural sciences are growing by leaps and bounds.
Well, glad to hear that Concordia is growing. Share with us, where is Concordia University, Nebraska located, for those not familiar with Nebraska?
It is just west of Lincoln, Nebraska, right off of Interstate 80. The mile marker is 379, so we're located 6 miles north of Interstate 80.
Very good, very good. And located in Seward, Nebraska.
In Seward, that's right.
What is the community like there in Seward?
Well, the community totals roughly 7,000 individuals. It is the county seat of Seward County and is a marvelous community. I think, Andy, there are 5 or 6 Lutheran churches in Seward and multiple congregations right around Seward. So it's a very Lutheran area, and the agriculture is the heartbeat of the community and county.
So a very Lutheran and agricultural area, so Lutheran that even the livestock are Lutheran too?
Most of them, yeah, most of them.
Oh, very good. And where do students come from to Concordia University in Nebraska?
Our students are traditional residential students. A third of them come from the great state of Nebraska. A third come from the states that surround Nebraska. And the other third come from all across the country and the world. And on any given year, we have at least 40 states represented and as many as a dozen international countries.
Very good. And how many students do you have today?
We started this year with 2,332. And that's a total headcount, which would include our undergraduate, our graduate, and other dual credit students as well.
Wow. Very good. Okay, so you mentioned dual credit and graduate programs.
In addition to the
traditional undergrad programs, share with us about the graduate programs at Concordia University, Nebraska.
A couple of things. One, and this is a new partnership, and one of the reasons I find myself on the West Coast this morning, Concordia, Nebraska, Concordia, Portland, and Concordia, New York, have a new partnership called Concordia Online Education. And the three institutions together are offering a wide variety of academic graduate programs. Together, the three of us, through this partnership, are serving more than 7,000 students. We're really excited about that. And while we can't double count, we each count our own students within the program. Collectively, the three institutions are serving that many students, and that's a very exciting thing for us. In addition to that, we have graduate programs that we solely deliver. Mm-hmm. And the graduate programs include education, business administration, family life, gerontology. So it's a wide variety of programs.
Very good. Very good. Now, you mentioned that partnering with some of the other Concordia universities to offer graduate studies online. Looking at how education has changed, how higher education has changed from Concordia's early days, 121 years ago, what does education look like? What does a classroom look like? You pointed out that graduate studies are available online now. How has Lutheran higher education changed over the course of history at Concordia University, Nebraska?
That's an interesting question, Andy. I think sometimes when we talk about change and what's changed, it's also important to think about what hasn't changed, mm-hmm. and what's remained constant. So the changes I've talked about are primarily in the area of modality, how education's delivered. But the substance of the education that we provide at Concordia hasn't changed. So our deep commitment to equip students to learn, serve, and lead in church and world based on God's Word, the Lutheran Confessions, a deep commitment to helping every student grow in his or her faith, whether that's through face-to-face instruction, online instruction. It's really a very exciting time to be in higher education. Very challenging, but very exciting to think how we can reach the world for Christ, and through educating students is just an amazing opportunity and blessing.
Now, when a student comes to campus at Concordia University in Nebraska today, what does campus look like? What's the environment like there?
It's exciting. We often talk about the Concordia experience, and so one of my responsibilities as president is to help students experience the Concordia experience. And there are really four pillars to that. The first and most important pillar for me about the Concordia experience is that it is a Christ-centered experience, that whether the student is in the classroom or the chapel or the cafeteria, Jesus Christ is present there. Secondly, we talk about having a faculty and staff that are invested in the lives of their students. So at Concordia, students aren't just a number. Our faculty care deeply about their students and their students in every aspect of their lives. Thirdly, we want students to have be part of a vibrant community. Part of that takes place on our 83-acre campus and our facilities, but it also takes place in the Seward community and as they connect with our alumni who live all over the world on 6 of 7 continents in all 50 states. And finally, it has to be an academically excellent institution. So last fall, U.S. News and World Report named Concordia number 44 in its top 50 Midwest Regional University category, and we're just thrilled and delighted with Concordia's continued recognition as a top-tier academic institution.
That's wonderful to hear. Not surprising. I know that the Concordia universities in general are just excellent institutions, and congratulations on that acknowledgement. That's outstanding. Well, I'd like to talk about what it takes for for Concordia to be this successful? Who are the people behind the success of Concordia? We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll talk about who are the people behind the success at Concordia University, who's contributing to that success. So stick around for more His Time right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Are you one of the 1.32 billion Facebook users? More importantly, do you follow Worldwide KFUO on Facebook? When you follow KFUO, you'll learn about upcoming programs and guests. You'll see pictures of the studio and live KFUO events. Go to Facebook.com/KFUO Radio and click the like button. Then share us with your friends and follow along throughout the day. Liking KFUO Radio on Facebook will help you share the faith with your friends and keeps you up to date on what's going on at Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis.
And I am Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's in New Athens and Trinity in Darmstadt, and we welcome you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics.
Matt, let go of me, man. No, it's not real wrestling. We're just talking about Bible issues.
No.
Oh, 9:05 Saturday mornings, 8:50 a.m. KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, March 4th, 7:44 Central Time. Today, we're talking with the Reverend Dr. Brian Friedrich from Concordia University, Nebraska. He's the president of Concordia University, Nebraska. And before we went to break, Dr. Friedrich, we were talking about some of the great programs and just the wonderful Christian environment that students encounter there on campus with the faculty and just campus life in general there at Concordia University, Nebraska. One other program I want to ask about real quick before we get into the people behind Concordia. You mentioned a dual enrollment, I believe, a program. We talked about the regular undergrad and the graduate programs. Dual enrollment, is that an opportunity for high school students?
Yes, it is, Andy. We have partnerships with, I think it's about 15 high schools, primarily Lutheran high schools, in which they enroll at their high school. That's how it gets its name, dual enrollment or dual credit, mm-hmm. where they're getting high school credit, but at the same time getting college or university credit. And the interesting thing about that is the teacher at the high school level is certified by the university as well as the curriculum, so that can happen as a great benefit to the student. So we have students through this program who come to us. Sometimes they have as many as 20 or 21 college credit hours when wow. they enroll at Concordia. And the great thing is they can use that credit at more institutions than just Concordia, because Concordia obviously is accredited by the North Central Commission of the Higher Learning Commission. So it's a great opportunity for high school mm-hmm. students to, as they're completing their high school education, to take some college classes as well, to find out what that's like, and also then to transfer those in so they get a jump on other courses.
And that's having worked in higher education myself for a while, there are a number of options, a number of ways to earn credit for high school students to maybe get a step or two mm-hmm. ahead.
Right.
But probably the best way, I think, in my opinion, the best way to get that credit is if you're doing advanced or early credit, the best way is to do that through a university like Concordia University. Because as you pointed out, being an accredited institution means that that credit then it can be utilized at many other colleges and universities. That goes a lot further than some of the other options.
Right, right. And as you said, there are many. But this is a real unique way for students to gain that credit. And the other thing, especially with our Lutheran high schools, one of the benefits for them as a high school is it helps them in their marketing in their local community to mm-hmm. say, hey, your students can come here, take these college courses at significantly reduced tuition, and maybe have as much as a semester or even more credit when they're ready to begin their college career. Because for everyone today, cost is an important consideration in the higher education equation. So if we can help students in that way, we're very excited to do that.
Yeah, I mean, 20-something credit, 20 credit hours, that can knock a year, you know, a semester to a year.
Semester off, right?
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. I think, Andy, we probably have over 300 high schoolers taking dual credit courses with us. So that's a real exciting opportunity. And Dr. Bernie Tungis, who lived in the St. Louis area and worked at Lutheran High in St. Charles for many, many years, is the person who is the brains behind that program and has done just a marvelous job with it.
That's wonderful. Well, let's talk about it. You mentioned one person behind the great work at Concordia University, Nebraska. Who are the other people that contribute to the success of Concordia University, Nebraska?
Well, Andy, with your background in theater, I can maybe use this phrase, a cast of thousands. It literally is a cast of thousands. We have a fabulous faculty. I can't give them enough credit and admiration for what they do. We were talking at the break about one of your wife's favorite faculty members, Mark Blonke. So, for example, Mark and our faculty in the DCE program, Thad Warren and Tim Ripstein, mm-hmm. that faculty helps us prepare DCEs for our church body. And 40% of the DCEs in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod graduated from Concordia, Nebraska. So it's a rock-solid program. But they just exemplify the kind of faculty with the academic qualifications, the experience, and the expertise to equip students. So faculty, absolutely. Our staff is phenomenal. I have the privilege of working with a leadership team. I call it my cabinet. Each very talented, gifted persons, and I'm so blessed with them. Our students make Concordia a great place. In the summer, we often say, we know why we're here, because the students aren't here. If it wasn't for the students, none of us would be here. And the students just make it a great place. But I think the other, and sometimes these are the silent partners, our alumni and friends. In our recently completed Blessed to Be a Blessing campaign, there were 12,000 individuals who provided gifts to support Concordia. And then there's a board of regents, 17 members of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations who continue to lead and govern the institution, who pray for us and help us tell the Concordia story in their locations. And they're surrounded by another group of volunteer leaders, the Concordia Foundation Board of Directors. So it literally is a cast of thousands, Andy, who make Concordia the very special and unique place it is.
With the success of the recent campaign that you mentioned, the Blessed to Be a Blessing campaign, how will that benefit the current students and future students and those who are part of the Concordia community?
All right. In many ways, the focus of the campaign and its title, Blessed to Be a Blessing, obviously comes from Genesis and God's call to Abraham, reminding him that he was blessed to be a blessing. The campaign's focus had three areas or three goals. One was a current goal or goal for current operations and scholarships, dollars that during the last 5.5 years helped to enable Concordia to be as affordable as possible and to provide scholarships that would impact students and enable them to study today. 100% of our full-time undergraduate students receive some type of financial aid. So those dollars on a year-to-year basis are absolutely critical. A second portion of, or goal of the campaign had to do with capital projects. We developed essentially a suite of capital projects that we wanted to address to help enhance the Concordia experience that I talked about previously. So we did a number of renovations to our campus center. We installed wireless access throughout the campus. We did some renovations to our physical education building. This summer we'll start the final set of renovations. We renovated our largest residence hall, David Hall, and maybe your wife, Lauren, even stayed in that. It's a quite different place now. This summer we're going to start renovations on our chapel auditorium. So all of those bless students in the present, but also for years and years to come. And then the third part, and I think this is really important, during the last 5.5 years, added $8 million to our endowment and received intentions that when the Lord calls people home for another $8 million. But just that $8 million in gifts that was added to our endowment will generate on an annual basis an additional $415,000 that we can provide to students for scholarships. So lots and lots of current and ongoing blessings as a result of the campaign, Andy.
That's great to hear. I'm glad you mentioned scholarships. When families are considering higher education, and this is the time of year when many students, many high school seniors are thinking about next year, doing those applications or considering their options for next year, how affordable is Concordia University? Because a lot of families would look at that and go, okay, Concordia University, that's a private institution, so that's probably not something that our family can afford. Is Concordia University, Nebraska, something affordable for many families?
It really is. It really is. And our encouragement always is for people to encourage their children or for students to apply, go through the process, and find out just how affordable Concordia is. We're probably running out of time, but if I have time for just one story.
Sure.
Some years ago, I was asked to speak at a congregation, and then as part of that, on the Sunday morning, there was a Bible study, and the pastor asked if I would just talk about Concordia during the Bible study time. I said, I'm happy to do that. Well, Bible study group audience was a man, and I said, oh, no. When I asked for questions, his hand shot up. His daughter had been at Concordia as a freshman, and then she transferred. And when his hand shot up, I thought, I know what he's going to say. He's going to say, the reason my daughter transferred was it was just too expensive. Well, since his hand was up and I said I'd take questions, I had to ask. And he said, well, the first thing I want to say is the reason my daughter transferred is not because Concordia was too expensive. In fact, she transferred because of an academic program, and she transferred to the flagship institution in the state, and it's costing me a lot more there than it did at Concordia. So I think sometimes perception is not reality. So I really encourage people to find out just how affordable all of our Concordias are, not just Concordia, Nebraska, but all the Concordias. They're fabulous institutions that have Christ at the center, and if parents want a place where mm-hmm. their students will be academically challenged and well-prepared and receive a Christian higher education at an affordable price, the Concordias are a place to look.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly that, and especially today, you brought up a good point. Go ahead and apply, because that's how, once you apply, then you can find out more about what you would be eligible for in terms of aid, whether it's scholarships or other types of aid, grants and things like that. You need to go through that process really to get a better picture of what all it would take for your family to send a student to Concordia University, Nebraska.
And I think the other thing with that, when people apply, they soon learn how many academic programs our Concordias have. So Concordia, Nebraska, for example, in its undergraduate offerings, we have 50 undergraduate academic majors. And many people don't know that, but our Concordias have very robust offerings and very high-quality offerings at the undergraduate level, at the graduate level. Several of the Concordias at professional schools. So it's really an awesome time to be part of the Concordia University system. So I'm just so thankful to have this opportunity to talk with you about Concordia, Nebraska, and all of our Concordias and wave their flag.
Thanks. With just about a minute left, you mentioned the other Concordias. How does Concordia University, Nebraska partner with the other Concordias? You mentioned the online endeavor with some of the Concordias. How does Concordia University, Nebraska partner with the other Concordia universities and colleges?
One of the ways is through our ongoing partnership through the Concordia University system. And sometimes those things are real tangible. Other times they're more encouraging, supporting. But to know that throughout the country, from coast to coast, north to south, there are 9 institutions with 10 locations serving 37,000 students is a pretty amazing thing. The presidents of the institutions meet a couple of times each year, the chief academic officers, the chief financial officers. So one of the ways in which we work together is through development of best practices. What are the best practices? And one of the things that's getting some press now on Lutheran airways is the Lutheran identity standards that we have all agreed to. And it's just a very exciting thing that we can put this stake in the ground and say that as institutions of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, here's what we stand for, here's what we're committed to, and we will ensure our students now and for the future that they will have a Lutheran Christian higher education.
That's outstanding. Well, where can we find more information? The website?
At the website, www.cune.edu.
Very good. The Reverend Dr. Brian Friedrich, President of Concordia University, Nebraska. Thanks so much for being our guest this morning on His Time. It was a pleasure to get to talk with you this morning, sir.
My joy as well, Andy. Thanks so much.
You bet. God's blessings.
And to you. Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading. Hope you can join us for that as we study with Dr. Glenn Thomas from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri. We're going to get into Mark chapter 7 this morning. Stick around for more of His Time right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.